On FM, on DAB, and up to date on social media. We are Radio Newark.
Yay, yay, Kevin Guthrie here, talking all things mental health and well-being. Thank you so much for listening to another one of our podcasts here at Radio Newark. So remember, the reason we do these podcasts is for you. We're hoping to create a bridge from the way we used to view mental health and the way we now view it, in the hope that if we understand it more, we will access it more. In the hope that if you do that, we're going to create more peace and more happiness in the world around us. So I have a guest in the studio today, as I normally do. So I have the lovely Amy Everett. Amy, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. So I'm going to start, as I always do, with our listener question. So the listener question today was, why do I think that we, in the past, we didn't talk about mental health quite as much as we do now? Now, just to clarify, we are getting better at it. I want us to get better and better at talking about mental health. For me, the reason why I think we avoided the subject and still do in certain circles is because there was a lot of stigma attached to it. I think because we couldn't see it, therefore it wasn't something we talked about. If somebody had a bad leg, you would talk about the bad leg. But because the mind was so confusing, I just feel like sometimes we avoided it. It was easier to not go there, so to speak. Amy, for you, how would you answer that question?
I think positive mental health is much more than being free from depression and anxiety and other psychological issues. I think it's important for every single one of us. It's such a huge subject.
Yeah.
And I totally agree. I think the more we talk about it, the more educated we become.
Yep.
And the more likely we can help each other and help ourselves as well.
Yeah.
For us, we are a baby loss organisation.
Yep.
We support families following the loss of a baby at any gestation. And there's so much surrounding what people go through, including miscarriage, stillbirth and premature birth as well, actually, and fertility treatments. And I think it's important that we talk about that as well, because often people are sent home and they're not aware that mental health issues can come up.
Yeah.
And people do struggle silently. So I think the more educated we become about any mental health issue, the better, like you say, we're all going to feel in the long run. And like you say as well, the services that are out there, people knowing that they're there as well, it helps a lot.
Absolutely. So where are you from? Tell us where you're from and where it came from.
So HUG stands for Help Us Grieve.
Yep.
We are a support network, a non-profit organisation supporting families following the loss of a baby.
Yep.
We started off 2.5 years ago.
Yeah.
Just building a website of information. So all the big charities and organisations across the country and all the small ones that are sort of local across the country as well, to advertise their services. Unfortunately, it came from personal experience, which is why I've done it. And I struggled to find support closer to home as well. And also there's big pressures on the big charities as well, so they like to work with the little ones as well, because obviously any support's better than nothing,
of course.
So we do work with hospitals and in different places, and even the midwives were coming to me and saying, we need this just as much as you. So we built the website and it kind of branched off from there.
Yeah.
So people heard about it, and the sad thing is it grew quickly, which says that so many people need it, which is awful.
So
we do events and things to raise awareness, because that's our main priority, is raising awareness of baby loss. And to signpost where people can go for different supports. We do run groups as well that are free for mental health as well. So that's local. We do lots of different things, really.
So the groups that you run, are they for more generalised mental health? Or?
So we do HUG Singers. We meet once a month and it's very laid back and it's actually a lot of fun. And we do that really because singing in a group, as you all know, is really good for your mental health. And it is, because it's so much fun, you know, there's no pressure. You don't have to talk about your experiences. You can turn up. There's no charge, so you don't have to, you're not committed to something. If you don't feel like coming last minute, you don't have to. It's just a brilliant way to get out of the house and feel safe in an environment where you know that people have also had a bit of a tough time, whether it be losing a baby or something else. It doesn't have to be anything to do with baby loss. We opened Hug Singers up to for anybody to come to. But the other things that we do is I trained as a grief recovery specialist.
Yep.
And the idea is then to use some of the funding that have come through, because, of course, people were saying, what can I do to help?
Yeah.
I'm going to fundraise. And then all this money started coming in and we were like, right, how are we going to best use this money to get it back into the community? So we would pay for grief recovery sessions as well.
That's amazing. What a really valuable resource that you're creating there.
It seems to have turned out that way, and it shocked us actually, because we knew what we wanted to do. Me and my husband sat down and thought, like the name, for example, at the beginning we were thinking of bereavement, grief. He said hub, help us, and he was like, how do we get around this? And then obviously it just fell into place with help us grieve.
I love it.
And it's all kind of slotted in. It's just happened as we've gone along, but it's all been in a positive way, because then you realise how many people, you know, in the hospitals and the staff on the wards are sort of crying out for something to give these poor people who have just been through the most horrendous trauma.
Yeah.
They're sending people home. And of course, you can give them a piece of paper and say, ring these people if you ever want to, but you're not initially looked after.
Yeah.
I it might be different now, but and we are definitely, like you said, getting better with dealing with these things. But certainly for me, I felt completely on my own, lost, absolute mess.
You know, it almost feels like that in the past, people may have wanted to talk about it, but didn't because there wasn't the resources there or the signpost in there. So therefore, in my head, it kind of works like this. If there's nothing there and I want to talk about something, then I internalize it, because I go, there's no outlet for that. So therefore, it must be me that is being overreactive to this. Mm-hmm. Whereas if there's a resource, then I go, oh, someone's created a resource. So by creating Hug, you create the resource and then people will step forward.
Yeah.
You create, they always say, you create the space and people will arrive. But you have to create the space first before people arrive.
I think that's exactly right. I think people feel safe enough to just be okay with how they feel. I think it scares people when they feel out of control.
Yeah.
I think it scares people when they are not coping.
Yeah.
And instead of talking to somebody about it and feeling like a failure, they don't, which obviously has a detrimental effect on the mental health anyway.
Yeah.
So communication is a massive key. Talking about it is a massive key, but also education, because there is a lot of people who don't understand and think, well, why aren't they getting over that? It was 5 months ago. And it doesn't work like that. Some of these things can be forevermore.
Yeah.
You know, traumatizing for them.
Yeah, completely. You see, you said something earlier off air about where were we going? There was a connection there around loss. And for you, why do you think people would go through a loss and under any of the umbrellas that you mentioned earlier and then not talk about it? Where do you think that comes from?
Again, it's because it's such a taboo subject.
Yeah.
Mental health in general.
Yeah.
Baby loss, definitely. And I think it is because people don't know what to say. So people who are close friends and then they lose a baby, the friends have no idea what to say, no idea what to do. So they either back off and, you know, the relationship between, you know, your friendships have broken down. I think it's such a difficult one because the people going through it, they do want to talk about it.
Yeah.
And they do want to just almost not justifying how they feel, but just to say it.
Yeah.
And sometimes the longer you leave it to talk, the worse it gets and the harder it gets.
Yeah.
But I do think it's all about raising awareness. There's so many more of us that go through this than we actually care to believe.
Yeah. Oh,
it's
completely.
It is a common thing. I hate that word because that makes it okay and it's not.
No.
It just means that saying to somebody how you feel is actually okay and it's normal. I think people need to hear that more.
If there's somebody listening now, that is in a situation where their friend may have been through some loss, what should they say?
It's difficult to do, but I would definitely say something.
Right.
Saying something is better than saying nothing at all.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we've all been in that situation. To me, recently, when, you know, one of my friend's dad passed away, and you do think, oh, what do I say?
Yeah.
Are we going to make it worse? But it's definitely better to say something, because the person who has been through any loss will appreciate it and not feel so isolated. That's the worst thing, when you feel so traumatized by something and devastated by something, and then nobody talks about it. You're in a bubble on your own then. If people are brave enough, and it is a very difficult thing to do, but if you can mention it, bring it up, you know, even just a how are you doing, it goes such a long way.
Yeah, I was thinking that in my head then, that just that simple phrase of how are you?
Mm.
And if they say, because sometimes I've done that in the past before, I've looked at somebody and says, you okay? They go, yeah, I'm fine. And then I go back and go, and I look at them straight in the eyes and I go, no, honestly, are you okay?
Yeah.
Because the second time round is telling them that I mean it.
Yeah.
I really, because we say, are you okay, quite a lot.
That's in a very good idea, actually, and it's a good point, and probably
go
something
back.
That we should all, yeah.
And I can do stuff like that because of what I do, because I work in therapy all the time. I'm okay with digging into people's feelings, but don't be frightened of it.
Mm.
Mostly people just want to be heard.
Yeah.
They just, it's not about, because I have this conversation with people and they go, well, I don't know what to say and I'm going to get it wrong. And I'm like, so don't say anything. Mm. Well, start off with the, are you okay? No, really, are you okay? And then hear them. Just listen. Yeah, just be there.
That's definitely a good point as well, because when I trained as a grief recovery specialist, that is the main thing, is to let people talk.
Yeah.
No judgment, just hear. That's what you're there to do, just to listen, hear what they've got to say. And you've got no idea how much that will have such an impact on that person who has managed to just offload.
Yeah.
You're
allowing them to talk. You're allowing them to kind of express and get it off their chest a little bit.
Yeah.
But again, I do think the fear comes from us thinking that we're going to get it wrong.
Yeah.
And without accounting for that, maybe we get it wrong by not saying anything.
Mm.
Maybe that's the part that we really get wrong by not stepping forward.
Yeah.
It is difficult. But I would encourage people always to step forward into difficult situations and go, no, seriously, are you okay? Is there anything I can do? And just listen to them.
Yeah.
Just listen. Don't pass advice across, because you're not there to advise them. Don't try and fix them. They don't want fixing sometimes.
Yeah.
They just want to be heard.
Absolutely.
And understood a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Just by saying things like, I know, I get it. It must be, little words like, it must be really hard.
Yeah.
It means that you're hearing what they're saying.
Yeah.
So what other things do you do at Hook? I watched the videos this morning in bed of the choir singing on Saturday at the Palace Theatre. You were brilliant. You were really good. I was really impressed.
It was funny. It's even funny you calling us a choir, because the...
You are a choir.
Well, this is how it has just bounced from one thing to another, just without even anything being pushed. I think it was actually Boxing Day. Last year, I had a phone call from Colm, who is the conductor.
Yeah.
And he's absolutely fantastic. You obviously saw the video.
Yeah.
And the band are just amazing.
Yeah.
They really are. And he said, we support different charities and organisations. We do pick one a year. We want to invite you to come and just talk about Hug. And I think they had three to choose from.
Right.
Well, I have suffered terrible anxiety and panic attacks in the past, and I thought, I can't do this.
Yeah.
But I went, because I'm not musical, but I like music, and I used to play the flute, not very well, and as I said before, I can't sing. I like the thought of being in a singing group, but I haven't got the best voice. So they had heard us, because we practice in the Palace Theatre.
Yeah.
And they must have heard us on a really bad day, because we do mess about. It's so laid back and it's good fun. So they sort of, that's how they found out about us when they were doing it. There was a concert on last year. So I had to go and talk to 60 people who were staring at me, and that if anybody knows me, knows that is not a great place for me. And I, to this day, can't remember what I said. Yeah. It was sort of probably 10 minutes of rubbish. And I just said what I said, and then, bless them, they probably felt sorry for me, but they chose Hug, and I was so grateful. But then the real work started, because we'd not been singing with Hug Singers for a year at that point.
Yeah.
So I pitched it to them and said, look, do you want to do a couple of songs with them? We'll see how it goes. And the band were really good with us, because they were so up for it. They were so up for any ideas and everything like that. And we did the festival at Newark Castle, and we sang with them there.
Yeah.
So that was our first in front of everybody. And that, so,
that was the one in June?
That was in end of August. This, we normally do June or July. This right, one okay. was August.
Right.
With when we did Mrs. Doubtfire and the Open Air Cinema.
Oh, right, okay.
So we did it then. And then obviously Saturday night, they have their yearly charity gig in the September.
Yeah.
And they are just, have you heard them? They're amazing, apart from the video.
Who is the band?
The Newark and Sherwood Concert Band.
Right, okay.
I've heard them a few times now, and I'm well into it. And yeah. I've seen them at prom. They do proms in the park at Kelham Hall and all that kind yeah. of thing. And yeah, they let us do two songs, and they were so good with us, but it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And the people who I didn't think would get up there because of nerves and everything like that, they just threw themselves into it. And wow. I was shocked and honoured to be singing with them, actually, because I didn't even think I could do something like that.
Yeah.
It was quite daunting, but everybody made it really welcoming for us. And we just went up there and did it, and I was really proud of them all, because it's one of those things, again, where you turn up to these groups not knowing anyone, it's awkward, it takes a few weeks to sort of come out of your shell.
Yeah.
And the transformation in people has been amazing to watch, actually.
That's brilliant. And I love that. And there is an awful lot to be said about singing and choirs. There's a... I deliver mental health and wellbeing into workplace as well, and I've noticed that there is a few people around the UK that have started setting up organisations that, whereby they go into workplace organisations and create choirs mm-hmm. in terms of tapping into mental health.
Yeah.
Which I think is really clever, because we now know that singing is really good for us. And
yeah.
Particularly, there's something really powerful about singing in a group of people, because then you get this collective energy
yeah.
as well. Mm. And if it's a happy collective energy, then it's just going to it's just gonna soar. So it's a brilliant idea. And you said that that is open to other people as well.
Yeah, we actually started to open it to anybody. Yep. So what we were finding was there was people coming up to us and saying, I haven't had any experience of losing a baby, but I'm going through a hard time. Can I join?
Yeah.
And we're not going to say no. Because the whole point of it is to try and get people to be uplifted and come and have a bit of fun and get out of the house. Maybe, you know, they would ordinarily be stuck at home,
yeah.
not doing anything. So we were like, yeah. So we opened it up for anybody to join, and it's free to join.
Yeah.
And there's no commitment if you don't want to go on, you know, you've said you're coming and the last minute yeah. you don't want to. There's no pressure at all. So the youngest we've had was 6.
Oh.
And yeah, so it's great, because we have lots of different ages turn up, and men and women as well, which is great.
Yeah. So if somebody's listening and they want to engage with the choir, how do they do that?
So we normally practice. We normally meet up at the Palace Theatre.
You're really bad at putting yourself down, you are.
We normally meet up at the Palace Theatre. There's a room upstairs called the Byron Room.
Yeah.
We do different dates because we have to fit in with them. So the best thing to do is follow the Facebook page, the Hug Helpers Grieve Facebook page.
Okay.
And we do them as events. So yeah. we always put the information on there or the website.
Yeah.
The next date is October 25th.
Yeah.
And that is at the Palace Theatre. There's a November one, and that's, if we can't get in at the Palace Theatre, we do Winthrop Community Centre.
Right, okay.
So we'll be back at the Palace Theatre in the December one.
Yep.
Which is always fun, because it's Christmas songs.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
So they can find you on Hug's Facebook page.
Yeah.
And they can drop you a message via there and yep. then get the details.
Absolutely. That's and they brilliant. Could always ring up the Palace Theatre as well and ask for details there, because yep. they would pass them on.
I love that. I love that you're doing that, and this is—it feels like an offshoot from the main work that you're doing. If somebody's out there and they are liking the work that you're doing and deciding that they feel they want to chat, Would they do that through Facebook as well?
They can do that through Facebook. People contact us through the messenger on Facebook or the email info@helpersgrieve.co.uk.
Okay.
So there's lots of ways to get in touch, and we do pick it up and we will get back to you as soon as possible. And we're good at jumping on it as well, because again, it's difficult when people are really desperate for.
Yeah.
It's often people will ask when they feel like they are absolutely at rock bottom.
Yeah.
So we recognise that, and we do get people sort of to come and speak to us as soon as possible.
So get them involved as quickly as we can.
Yeah.
I guess what we could say here is try not to, because I get the same in therapy where, and this particularly happens with couples, whereas I get a couple walking through the door and they go, "You're our last chance."
Oh, pressure.
Thanks for that. What I would encourage everybody to do in terms of mental health, whether it be about loss or anything else, is don't leave it till the last point.
Absolutely.
Step in a lot earlier. I had somebody come to see me the other week, actually, and I was really proud of what they did. And this person said, "I feel myself on a decline and I don't want to decline anymore, so I want to do something." I was like, get in.
Yeah.
That's where I want you, right there. Because once we're at rock bottom, it's not that there's nothing we can do, there's loads we can do, but it's just harder. So start to recognise those signs.
I think you've hit the nail on the head there with a lot of the people that we come across as well. And certainly myself, I know what my triggers are now.
Yeah.
I know when I'm on that decline.
Yeah.
And I know I've got certain things that I know I've got to put in place just to pick me up a bit before I go any further down.
Yeah.
And I do think that is a very important point, is if we start to recognise our own little paths of where we're going.
Yeah.
And it happens to us all. I mean, we all go through awful things. We all go through different life difficulties and things like that. So,
life will always throw stuff at us. It will just ebb and flow every day. Sometimes I call them red flag moments. And I talk about red flag moments a lot. And when I've been on a journey with a client, towards the end of the journey, I'll say, okay, so let's create some red flag moments. And what I'm saying to you is, what are your triggers? Mm. How do you recognize that you might be on a decline again? So for me, one of my own personal red flag moments is I snap at the dog.
Right.
It's really a simple one.
Mm-hmm.
The little dog does nothing wrong. She's really cute. She's really fluffy. She just wants her belly tickled. It's as simple as that. If I snap at her, then I immediately now internalize it and go, "That was interesting. What did you do that for?"
Yeah.
And I go away and I reflect and I work out, what am I missing? Have I not been to the gym? Have I got a hangover? Have I drunk enough water? Mm-hmm. How's my diet?
Mm-hmm.
Is my workload really heavy? There's a whole plethora of reasons why I could be in that place.
Yeah.
But I go through them all and then I go, okay, it's that one there.
Yeah.
I need to go to the gym. I've not been outside. And then I pick it up immediately.
Yeah.
So little red flag moments are just really powerful.
Yeah.
Self-awareness.
It is. And it's actually a game changer in terms of how you cope anyway.
Yeah.
So as long as you, it's almost like getting in tune with yourself to figure out what's going on and just nipping things in the bud before it gets worse. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, we refer to it as emotional intelligence, where our emotional intelligence, I sometimes like the phrase emotional awareness, because I sometimes find emotional intelligence sounds just a little bit patronising, particularly if I'm having to say to somebody, "Your emotional intelligence is not great."
Yeah, that's what I mean, yeah.
So I now call it emotional awareness. But again, it's key to how we feel.
Mm.
And actually, there's a really good book on emotional intelligence, and it's all about business and emotional intelligence, but it's about how once we become more aware, self-aware ourselves, we become more aware of other people.
Yeah.
Because we start to read signs.
Yes. Yes, we do. That's interesting you said that. That's very true, isn't it?
I love it when, I don't know, somebody snaps at somebody and instead of going back and saying, "Don't you snap at me like that. What are you talking to me like that for?" Don't do that. Look back at them and go, "You're all right."
Yeah.
So powerful,
because
it stops in its tracks and the other person goes, if the other person says, yeah, I'm fine, and snaps again, just say, "Oh, okay, it's just that you wouldn't normally talk to me like that."
Not like you, yeah.
That's not like you, perfect. And even if they don't talk to you in that moment, chances are they will go away and reflect.
Yes, because you've put the seed in the head, haven't you, about somebody's noticed. Yeah.
Completely. It's about, I call that seed dropping, where we drop a little seed. Sometimes I'll drop a little seed and then I'll walk away. Sometimes I walk away really quickly. Depending on who the seed has been dropped with and what seed was dropped. But just drop it and walk. But yeah, self-awareness is really powerful. There's a special week coming up.
Yes.
What is it?
It's Baby Loss Awareness Week. It's the 9th to the 15th of October every year.
Yep.
We have found that the run-up to Baby Loss Awareness Week does heighten people's stress levels.
Yep.
And it's the same for any mental health, you know, towards Christmas, towards different holidays and towards anniversaries and birthdays and things, they do tend to sort of peak.
Yeah.
So, yes, there's lots going on and it's difficult to manage sometimes because obviously I am affected myself as well. But like you said before, I know how to tweak my own.
Yeah.
Well, I'm getting better at it, shall I say. it's a national campaign, and last year we lit up, it was the town hall, pink and blue, and then we did the old hospital. Derry's Building Services lit up the old hospital, pink and blue, and we're trying for the castle this year and the church, but it's the different light settings, you see. They really want to get involved, which is brilliant. It's just, it's technical issues. It's not reluctance of wanting to get involved, and it's nice that people are coming forward and doing things to get involved. So the church is open and the Wave of Light, which is on the 15th of October at 7 p.m.
Cool.
Where people tend to, they light candles and they will post their pictures all over social media in memory of somebody they've lost, a baby that they've lost or one of their friends' babies that they've lost. And that's quite a powerful evening, actually. Yeah. Even if you're sat at home and you're on social media, you can see how huge that is.
If somebody wanted to get involved, would they go to your Facebook page?
Yes, they can do. A lot of our Hug Singers are volunteers now. Again, there's no pressure to get involved in that way. You can get involved however you like. The details are all on the Facebook page as well.
Any
questions or anything, just get in contact and we'll sort it out.
You're doing some amazing work there. Are you proud of what you're doing?
I'm overwhelmed. I'm shocked at how many people need this kind of thing.
Yeah.
I knew it, but I didn't realise the scale.
Yeah.
So before we launched, actually, I joked and said, I realise I'm going to jump on the hug bus and I probably will never get off. And it's actually true. It's turned out like that. But the differences that Hug is doing for people in terms of their lives changing is you can't. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So as a team, now that we are a team with the volunteers and everything, we all should be so proud of what we're doing.
Yeah.
Because, like I say, changing people's lives and letting people know that they aren't on their own, just sometimes that's enough for people to just feel a bit less. You know, so yes, we are proud.
So it's all, you said earlier that it was non-profit.
Yeah.
Everybody that works there's volunteers.
Yeah, there's nobody in a paid role. We are a non-profit organisation.
Okay.
There has been talk, because we're still relatively new, there was talk in the first year because we hit the criteria to have a charity number.
Yeah.
We looked at that and we wanted to go for it straight away.
Yeah.
But with that comes lots of different other things, and I actually fell pregnant and was terrified of losing that baby.
Yeah.
So I concentrated on the events that we had booked in.
Yeah.
I concentrated on getting her here safely, which she did, thank God, and she's 2 in October.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. And, so it's just been a long time coming back to it. It is something that we're looking at in the future, but as I'm very aware that it's ticking over nicely as it is and it's working, I'm just concerned about how the change would affect how Hug runs.
Yeah.
And because it's working nicely and it's doing the job that we want it to do, that's where we're at with it. So
You'll work out what's right for you. Try to feel it.
Yeah.
Try to feel.
Yeah.
I always think when we feel things, that has way more power. And you'll either feel that you want to expand and grow and go down that path, or you don't.
Yeah. It's interesting that you say that as well, because I've definitely learnt to go with my gut feeling.
Yeah.
I have been pushed to do certain things with Hug, and I've been sort of, people have been cross at me for saying no, but I've gone with my gut feeling and it's worked out.
Yeah.
And my main priority is raising awareness. Anything else is a bonus.
Yeah.
Our main priority is to make sure that it is working as well as it can.
Yeah.
So as long as it's doing that, I'm happy. Yeah. Everybody else is happy. So, yeah, needs to stay.
Unfortunately, we have come to the end of our recording. Is there any last message that you want to give to people that are listening at the moment?
If anybody is sitting there thinking, I've just been through something horrendous, or even 10 years ago, even a lifetime ago,
yeah,
just to know that it is actually a normal reaction to feel the way that you do. And there's nothing wrong with reaching out and looking for support. It doesn't mean people are failing at life.
Yeah.
We all go through these things at different stages. And, you know, who knows where you'll end up? You might end up on the stage at the Palace Theatre. Who knows?
Which could be terrifying for some people.
Yeah.
Listen, you're doing some amazing, amazing work there. I guess if there was something that I wanted to leave people with, it would be, as we say often now, it's okay not to be okay. And it's okay to feel these things. And feeling loss, feeling trauma through all of these events is okay. And it's, I don't like the word normal, but it's just okay. It's okay to do that. So don't be fearful of it. Amy, you are doing some incredible work there. So keep it going. I'm sure that you're helping and touching a lot of people, and keep the singing going as well. That's brilliant. The next time you're on, I'm coming to see you.
Thank you. Watch this space.
That's it. We are almost at the end. Remember that podcasts are available on radionewyork.co.uk. We have iOS and Android apps. Contact info is 01636 678033. You can email us at studio@radionewyork.co.uk. The podcast will also be available on Guthrie Therapy's Facebook page, so you can access them there. Remember that these podcasts are for you. We record them because we want to create a bridge from how mental health used to be to how we think it possibly might be healthier. So if we're not covering subjects that you want covering, then help us. Email in, message me, message us, and let us know what conversations you want us to have, and we will try our best to do that for you. So I'm going to go. If you think this is going to be helpful to somebody else, then please, please pass it on. It's an amazing subject. Please, as always, take very good care of yourself. Take care. Bye-bye.